Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 227 of Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast about all things intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. I've been curious about how you come to work in the intercultural field, and have continued my conversations with people who are doing it. One thing I realise now, after talking to several people, is that there are many ways into an intercultural career. Here, for example, is Dawn, who was based in Ethiopia and formed Broads Abroad, a support group for expatriate women, based on the conversations that used to happen after the Zumba lessons she started giving.
After class, there was a coffee shop, and we sat together with a group of us, and I got to talking to some of the women who had been there for just a couple of years, and asking them what their embassies and organizations did for them in terms of culture learning and language learning for Ethiopia. And they said, well, our embassies show us the supermarket, the school, and the gym. And that's all.
And Franklin Yarty, a professor of intercultural communication at Dubuque University, Iowa, worked as a PR manager of a dance school in his native Ghana before ending up in the U.S. to continue his education.
I share things like why dance and music is part and parcel of Ghanaian culture.
And once you're doing it, it seems that intercultural work is its own reward, as Joe Cairns describes.
You know, so I set up my own small company and mostly did training, funny enough, for teachers who were going to teach foreign students. And I absolutely loved that. I got paid for it, but I quite honestly would have done it for nothing.
So this show is the second in our series on how to get into the intercultural field. Thanks to everyone who agreed to participate. Another thing I noticed about today's contributors is that they all had a connection with Africa, two with Ethiopia and one with Ghana. Listen to find out which is which. We start with Dawn Bryan, who was in Ethiopia for 25 years, having returned to the States only recently. Compared to the expatriate women who tended to stay in Ethiopia 2 to 3 years before moving on with their husband's next assignment, you could say that Dawn was absolutely embedded.
Well, one of the things that I did over the course of time is I started teaching a Zumba class there. When we were back in the United States one brief summer, I went to a Zumba class and thought it was the most fun thing I'd ever done. And so I thought, well, it would be super fun to get a group of women together in Ethiopia and do some Zumba. So I became a Zumba instructor, and I was teaching in a local gym. And women from the international community were coming to the class, as well as Ethiopian women. And we were dancing together. And after class, there was a coffee shop, and we sat together with a group of us. And I got to talking to some of the women who had been there for just a couple of years, and asking them what their embassies and organizations did for them in terms of culture learning and language learning for Ethiopia. And they said, well, our embassies show us the supermarket, the school, and the gym, and that's all. And I thought, well, I've been here a long time. And our organization that we were with did an excellent job at doing cultural orientations and doing language learning, and I thought I could help. I think I could help. There seems to be a need, and I think I love it here. I love Ethiopia. I love Amharic, which was the language we learned. I have a lot of connections because I'd been there for a long time, and I thought, well, maybe I can be a bridge between the Ethiopia world and the world of international accompanying spouses who may not have the privilege of knowing that other side. I think accompanying spouses have a challenge. If they move around every 2 years, how are they meant to get to know a place better than they knew the place before? Mm-hmm. And without somebody on the ground who's trustworthy and who's knowledgeable, it really can't happen. You're busy getting your shipment, getting getting your kids settled in school and making new friendships and trying to find your role. And then all of a sudden you're thinking about the next place and sending out your shipment and transitioning your family. And there's no time really to get to know a new place intimately. And so I thought, well, if I could help do that for these women, I would love to do that.
So was this a voluntary thing, or was it something that they bought into?
Oh, no, it was completely voluntary. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Just something that I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So what did you think was the most important thing for people to know about Ethiopia? Apart from the supermarket and the gym.
Yeah. I think what I wanted them to get a picture of was the richness of friendships that could be made, relationships that could be established, even if they're there for just a short period of time. The richness of culture and history, and of course you want people to know how to not be offensive, right? But more than that, you want them to know how to appreciate a place and see some of its depth for the time that they're there, and to see some of the richness so that they can thrive while they're there, and they can have some things in a toolbox to take to the next place to see that next culture in similar ways. How do you figure out the depth of the richness of the next place that you go to, or the place that you're at?
Were you able to see understanding suddenly come to life?
I think some of what I saw, women were able to get into Ethiopian homes, have the opportunity to get into Ethiopian homes that they may not have had before. Mm-hmm. So one of the first sessions that we did each year was to talk about Ethiopian cultural do's and don'ts. So some of that was very basic about greetings, the importance of greetings. And then we also talked about, what do you do when you're invited to a wedding? What do you do when you hear about a funeral? Those sorts of things. And then we went into an Ethiopian home and we were taught how to make coffee, how to make Ethiopian bread, and we shared a meal with the family that we were, of the people whose home we were visiting. And some of those women had not been in an Ethiopian home before. Some of them hadn't had the opportunity to go into a home like that. I was very specific about, I wasn't specific, but the woman who made her home available to us lived in a very poor part of town, and her home was quite humble, and she graciously opened her home up to us and showed tremendous hospitality. And it may have been the only time that women from the Broads Abroad were in a home like that. And I think there were some important things that they saw in terms of Ethiopian hospitality and Ethiopian graciousness that they might not have seen this in the same way. I think also I saw changes in people's Facebook posts about Ethiopia over the course of we did Broads Abroad for 4 years, and the women who were there usually were in a cycle of 2 years, sometimes three, not usually four. By then they had moved on to their next posting. But over the course of time, you could see the way they talked about Ethiopia, or the way they talked about cultural difference, or you could see that it was changing, at least I could. More positive, more open. It generally seemed to make a difference, I hope.
It sounds wonderful. So what do you miss about Ethiopia?
Oh, is your podcast long enough? My goodness. I miss the sense of community and relationships. One of the privileges that we had because we were there for such a long time was depth of relationship that we had with Ethiopians and with other people who were living and working there. But yeah, I miss the relationships for sure. And I miss being bilingual.
By the way, if you have a comment about the show, an idea for a future show, or want to share your intercultural story, then head on over to our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com and leave us a comment. You can also catch us on our Facebook page, where we share stories of intercultural interest several times a week. The next person I talk to is Franklin Yati from Ghana, who teaches intercultural communication at Dubuque University in Iowa. Over the last few years, I've Skyped a few times into Franklin's class to talk about different intercultural topics. But this time, I thought this was an opportunity to find out more about the man behind the teacher. And you'll understand why I call this segment Absolutely Eyes Down when I asked him about those things which his students find different about Ghanaian culture.
So my name is Franklin Ni Amankwa Yate, and I'm originally from Ghana, West Africa, and I'm currently in Dubuque, Iowa, teaching at the University of Dubuque as an associate professor.
What are some of the typical questions that your students have about Ghana, or what are the things that they find most interesting to find out about your culture?
Well, as a broad range of things that they find interesting. I come from a family, an artistic family. So basically, specifically, dance. So my dad was a dance choreographer. My brother is a dance choreographer. When I'm teaching, I tend to share with them. I share things like why dance and music is part and parcel of Ghanaian culture. I draw examples from Ghanaian culture. I try to make what I'm teaching relatable in the sense that I use a lot of real life examples. Now, for example, eye contact. The simple thing is eye contact. Eye contact varies from culture to culture. Here in the U.S., when you're talking to somebody, you need to maintain eye contact. It shows that you're being sincere. It shows that you care about the person that you are in conversation with. But then in other cultures, people tend to not maintain eye contact throughout, because you don't want to disrespect somebody when you are speaking to the person. You don't want to maintain eye contact throughout, because that may be a sign of disrespect, especially if you're speaking to somebody older than you. So these are little things that I share to help add meaning to a discussion, to or add meaning to a concept that we are learning in class.
Are you ever in contact with your students once they've have finished their studies, and do you get a feel for if they're able to use what they learned in their later work lives?
Yes, I have had I have links with a couple of quite a number of students who have graduated on LinkedIn, and they have found taking my class has been helpful for them, and not just my class, but in other classes here at the University of Dubuque. And they do communicate that. I've had students who have written reference letters for me, and they have indicated in a letter that taking an intercultural communication class help broaden their worldview, because some of them are in management positions. So that means that they are managing people, and they are managing people from all walks of life, from different religions. To answer your question, yes, I think it has been helpful to students who have taken my intercultural communication class, and obviously other classes at the University of Dubuque as well.
I think people tend to think of intercultural professionals as coming from the arts or social sciences. But Joe Cairns is an example of someone who noticed intercultural differences in a technical background, first as an engineer in Ethiopia and later as a computer specialist in several companies, both in Ireland and the US. So how do you go from computer manager to intercultural work? Let's go absolutely CETA, the organisation which Joe Cairns credits with raising his understanding of intercultural competence.
I spent a lot of time travelling with HP, spent a lot of time going to the West Coast. We lived in the US for a year. Loved the company, but I was finding it really was burning me out. I'd had enough. So an opportunity came up to leave, and they paid me a decent amount of money to go. And I thought, great, I'll do that. And I actually wasn't sure what to do. And I actually started teaching English as a foreign language, which is actually a path a lot of people come through to the intercultural field. And it's a very logical one, because once you start teaching language, you get sucked into culture. Now, I'll be honest, when I did that, I didn't even know that the intercultural field was an identifiable area of study. I knew a little bit about cultural difference, but I didn't know that people actually did degrees or wrote books on the topic or really studied it. And I got introduced to it by a woman called Maura Gallagher, who was very involved in CETA Ireland and in CETA Europa, sadly died a few years ago. But Maura introduced me to CETA, and I said, oh, that sounds interesting. So I went to the Congress in Sofia in 2007, couldn't believe the people that I met there. I really was blown away by the variety, the experience, the insights. And I began to, like a lot of people, when you come to this field, you find, particularly in my case anyway, having spent 2 years in Ethiopia, looking back and thinking, God, I wish I'd had some intercultural awareness training before I went, because looking back, I was staggeringly ignorant. And having lived in France before that, again, a lot of things looking back on it now were cultural challenges that I didn't know about. And sometimes all you need to know is that that's what you're seeing. So out of the work in Bulgaria, I kind of set up a small training company. Because I was further on in my career, and this for younger people coming in, they will have different motivations, you know. So I set up my own small company and mostly did training, funny enough, for teachers who were going to teach foreign students. And I absolutely loved that. I got paid for it, but I quite honestly would have done it for nothing. Because I used to look forward to every single class, because you went in and it wasn't very long, it was about half a day, and you'd go in and you'd a group of people you hadn't met before, and there were all sorts of backgrounds, mostly younger people in their early 20s maybe, but people of all sorts of ages and different backgrounds. And the fun of introducing them to the concepts of cultural difference was fascinating. It was the most wonderful thing, was to see them beginning to understand what you're talking about and begin to relate it to their own. Many of them would have already traveled a bit and beginning to see the challenges. And it was always a very interactive class, except for one group I had once. There were only about five in the group, but they had never traveled. They'd never gone outside Ireland. And it was extremely difficult to get them to even grasp what I was talking about.
So one of the most important building blocks for an intercultural career is to get some experience under your belt. Thank you to all of those who joined us for today's show. In fact, our conversations were much longer, and you may hear more from these wonderful guests in later shows. And if you liked our show, please like us on Facebook too. By the way, did you know that we're also on iTunes? You can also subscribe to us there for free and give us a rating and a comment. We would appreciate that. That's it for this show. The next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on July the 6th. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.